everybody, it's Johnny P. We have reached the end of Season 2 of the CWF Road Diaries. Today is a bit of a mashup. We're going to finish up Michael McAllister's interview, and then we have Joey Hogan, a.k.a. Samoa Joey, who's a great utility player. He's a valuable member of the CWF family, who you've probably seen, especially if you've watched earlier Worldwides or beyond that. He's been around for a while, and he's just a guy who fills in a lot of different positions. One of the things I didn't even get to ask him about, I don't think, was that he referees sometimes here and there, or he has in the past. But Joey's somebody who has helped out. He definitely has an awesome relationship with Maddie De Niro, who shows up a lot of times at Battlecade and was somebody who was part of Fat back in the formative days of that stable. So anyway, this week and last week are kind of the reasons that I wait to do the ins and outs of the episode, the intro and the outro, before I send it in, even though I've had these things edited for weeks. So stay tuned at the end. A few things that I want to say as we end this season. And we're going to start with Michael McAllister. So you trained like 03, 04. You've been in or around the business, whether you're healthy or not, for well over a decade now. What are your goals at this point in your career within CWF?
Well, me being a... I have a business outside of this. Like, I have a job that I've done all my life. Like, I've wrestled since I was... Or not wrestled. I've engraved since I was 8 years old. Like, that's sort of like a second family business to me. So, I mean, that's just one of those things. And I've always just loved wrestling. And Jeff and them, they gave me a platform to do this. And I love it. And now my goal is just... And it's always been this way. I've always, you know, told them, you know, whatever we need to do. You know, I've been, you know, not, you know, I'm the kind of guy that they can go to with whatever. I'm usually very easygoing to get along, to do anything, which is partly why I've had 100 million tag team partners and everything else here.
I always end up telling you, not like we talk every day, but
always.
I've bumped into you several times, either online or in person, and in passing, I always say to you, you always strike me as a very heady guy. And you don't strike me as somebody. I am biased because I did a documentary about ECW,
right.
Which is a certain type of character. You just don't strike me as somebody who like would be in the wrestling business and would enjoy it. What do you get out of being in wrestling? And I don't mean to disparage wrestling because obviously I'm here doing this.
Oh, well, perfect timing for this question. A couple weeks ago, I was approached to be involved in a birthday party. That was the most fun I've had in forever, and the little kid. I mean, we all do it for that, you know? So, I loved it, so it's an outlet, you know, to do different things.
What do you... Are there stories in... Well, are there stories that you think could be told in a ring that you would like to be a part of that you don't think wrestling does? Is there anything where you're like, you know, how come wrestling doesn't do this and I'd really like to be a part of it?
I don't know.
I know, it's a very outside
of the
box.
I was like, I don't know. I'm sure I would have to think about it. Should give you a halfway intelligent answer.
What's that? Okay. Nobody is interrupting us right now.
Yeah, exactly. Why not? No.
See, this is what happens when McAllister and I actually are forced to communicate with each other.
My bad, guys.
Yeah. And right on time. Hello.
Good job, Sparkles. Good job.
We got one.
Sparkles. Thank God.
Sparkles. How would you like to transition away from the business when that time comes? What would be...
I don't know. Like, away from it completely? Because I don't think that has ever happened.
Outside of the ring, I should say, yeah.
Well, I've done... When I started, I did voiceovers for commercials on our TV program. Mm-hmm. I did do whatever... Since I started, you know, would do any role they needed. When I first started, I was assistant commissioner. Mm-hmm. And that was just something I did. I was William O. Cross's assistant from the very beginning. And now he's, you know...
So you've come full circle.
Sort of, yeah. And finally, I was a bad guy, a rule breaker for about 14 years, I was a good guy for 6 months of the first part of my career.
Yeah.
That's it. So now we're trying something different.
JB, since you're sitting here,
yeah.
I figure there's like one more spot for a question here. There could be more, okay. but I wanted to know, is there anything that you've always wanted to ask Michael McAllister? By always, it could be in the last 30 seconds. You're like, John, why aren't you asking this?
Oh, jeez, I've asked Michael so many questions already this weekend.
This recorder hasn't heard any of them.
Oh, that's true. That's true. And you kind of stole my thunder a little bit earlier on one of them. Is there anything at this point that you want to do that you've not been able to do in this business?
I've not been able to do it for a while, but I'm now being able to do it. Right now, I'm having a lot of fun. You know what I mean? Like, I'm actually having a lot of fun with it. So, I mean, no matter what I'm doing right now, it's actually just fun. I don't care which match or whatever I'm doing. It's just, it's a good time, you know? It's a good escape for us, you know?
I think that's fine as far as the escape mentality. And we can all tell that you're having fun doing it, too.
Oh, good.
So that's a whole other thing, too. Like, I mean, of course, you know, I know of struggles and things that everybody's gone through and some of the stuff that you've gone through, but the reality is, you know, if you're not in there having fun, the fans are going to be able to tell, too.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, if there's too much, it's like any job where it's performance. If you're out there and you're in front of people and you're not having a good time doing it, they're going to be able to see that.
Right. Absolutely.
And if I say, Michael, you have to retire. By January 1st, I'll give you Battlecade.
Oh, thanks!
I'm not only going to give you Battlecade in this scenario. I'm going to give you the main event.
Oh wow! Yeah, no one wants to see that.
And I want you. Well, in this world, they do.
Oh wow!
This is why I'm giving it to you. I'm a smart businessman in this scenario.
Good.
And I say you can have any opponent you want. But it has to be somebody from CWF past or present. Oh, who would you like to work with for your final match, which is the main event of Battle?
Gotta be two.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I would have to be Evan Banks and Mecca.
Yes.
Just because I've had more fun with them. They're my favorite tag team partners. So, you know,
okay.
I've had fun with them and against them.
Okay.
Both. So, we mesh really well, I think.
All right. Thank you for being, the music takes us
thank
out.
Thank you all. That's awesome.
Thank you for being on the podcast, Michael McAllister.
Thank you so much.
All right, I'm here with Joey Hogan. You also went as Samoa Joey, did you not?
Yeah, I did.
All right, and some of you might not know Joey, but if you saw him in person, obviously this is audio, but if you saw him in person, you'd be like, oh, I've seen that guy on Worldwide a bunch of times.
Yeah.
Early on, you did some wrestling. You've done some managing, which you did tonight. We're taping it at Battlecade 18.
Absolutely.
You've done some, like, security.
Yeah.
And just all-around utility player.
Yes, sir.
How did you get involved?
It was back in 2012, I'd like to say, maybe. I always had a dream to want to be a wrestler, but there were certain physical requirements that I didn't meet, and I knew that off the bat. But I said I wanted to be involved somehow, so that's where I start off as a referee, and then I moved my way up, and they pitched the Samoa Joey idea for me to come out every once in a while. And I've always been a fan of Samoan wrestlers.
Okay.
That's where it came from. I always loved the Samoan
wrestler. But were you a fan of Samoa Joe in ROH?
I actually love Samoa Joe, loved all of his work.
Yeah.
Just the way that he portrayed, when you see big guys, you expect these 2 to 3 minute squash matches, but you can watch Samoa Joe go out there and have a 20-minute classic with an AJ Styles. You can go out there and watch him have the 15, 20-minute classic with Christopher Daniels, Kazarian. I could go on and on with that list. I said, here's a guy who can actually work. He's a big boy, and that's what really led me to sort of want to learn his moveset and everything like that.
I imagine at the beginning you started doing a lot of the little things because you were a trainee.
Yeah.
But when did you make the move out of the ring permanently and start with a lot of the other stuff?
It was me and Stutzy and a lot of other guys talked, and I had a few health scares back 2014, 2015. My asthma started getting really bad, and it was just a thing of me and Stutzy and all them. We sat down and talked, and I said, I think it'd be better if I did stuff with y'all instead of going in the ring and hurting myself even worse.
So what are a lot of the things you do now from show to show?
I'll get here early, see if they need any help sweeping, cleaning up. I mainly stick around here during the show, and I've learned from Stutzy, me and him can sort of make the eye contact with each other now. Like, if he needs me for something, I can read his eyes, and after the show, we'll stay and clean up, and usually I'm the one locking up.
What attracted you to CWF, though? Like, what made you go, like, this is a place
CWF, mainly. I had a friend of mine said, they got wrestling in Burlington. He said, it's this Saturday night. Me and you can go check it out, see how it is. I said, okay. I said, what could it hurt, you know? And this was back in 2011, was my first show. I remember coming, and I just remember my first night booing the All-Stars, and I remember just catching on to all that. And I said, I want to come back to see what happens next. And from that moment on, it was like it caught me, and it caught me, and it caught me.
And you want to stay here for as long as you can, it seems like?
I love staying here. I love watching these young guys sort of progress. I love watching guys like Trevor Lee, watching the Brad Attitudes. I love watching it and just studying. And I love just watching the sport. I'm really big in the Ring of Honor right now. Mm-hmm. One of my favorites right now, if people want to know this about me, I love watching the villain Marty Scurll. I love watching his work and just how he paces his matches, and I love watching guys like that. I love watching the ACHs. I love watching the younger guys and sort of trying to figure out, where is Marty Scurll going to be in 5 years? Where's Kenny Omega going to be in 5 years? Where's the Young Bucks going to be in 5 years? I love watching the next generation, just seeing where they're going to be in 5 years.
And where does Joey Hogan see himself in 5 years?
That's a hard one. I'd like to have a couple more matches. I really would. There's some guys in here that I'd like to wrestle. I'm going to keep them nameless right now because, I just don't want to let the cat out of the bag. But in 5 years, I see the same thing, actually, just doing what needs to be done, being the team player, not just setting myself in one position, but playing all positions, saying, I want to be your team player. I want to do whatever you need done.
Joey, thank you very much. I appreciate it, man.
Thank you, sir.
My thanks to Joey Hogan, a.k.a. Samoa Joey, and before that, Michael McAllister. That one was not a pod counts anywhere. We finally found a place to sit and talk. Thanks to both of them, and the cool t-shirt that McAllister was able to send my way, which I very much appreciate and wear at least once a week these days. All right, we are at the end of the season. Obviously, some things went down in the last few weeks. Tonight, it will have just aired, right before this airs, was the worldwide episode number 140, the main event of Battlecade between Trevor and Roy. If you haven't seen the history video that I put out, it's practically its own, like, mini compilation documentary sort of thing without the interviews. So check that out online. Also, I put out a music video of the amazing, one of my favorite matches, the Battlecade main event for 2016, which would have been Battlecade 17, if we're keeping track, and that was Brad Attitude versus Trevor Lee. And I also put out a Brad Attitude versus Lee Valiant, one of the CWF FanCon favorites. Lee Valiant, Brad Attitude cage match music video, which I've had sitting around for almost a year as well. So tonight, with episode number 140, is kind of the end of an era. As we know, Brad Stutz is gone. I don't think I'm breaking any news to say that Grant Sawyer may not be there going forward. Those two are the guys who kind of brought me into the fold as far as helping out and being involved, and I owe a debt of gratitude to both of them, and I want to publicly thank them. Both remain my friends. This is a difficult time. Obviously, very disappointed with how things ended up with Brad, and specifically with what happened with Brad, and he fully understands that the company had to let him go. He's working on his life. I've spoken with him. I see signs of that. I'm hopeful because there are levels to things that are done wrong. There's a difference between a Harvey Weinstein and, say, like a Louis C.K., for example. And I see Brad as somebody who made foolish mistakes. And yes, there's that word foolish. I can't believe I fell for that. I know that that's a word people did not like that was in Bruce Mitchell's write-up. If you don't know what I'm talking about, by the way, go search out Bruce Mitchell's article on the whole CWF Stutz situation. It was very tastefully done, very well done, and I don't think it was overly sided one way or the other. It was kind of an inter-family thing, and it was settled before it was ever made public, quite frankly. And there doesn't need to be too much more to it, honestly. And I know that that sounds like nonsense in an insular world, but as somebody who has more than one foot outside, because I'm not employed by CWF, I can say pretty strongly that everybody's in a better place now. And I mean everybody. And now something different is going to happen. You know, we'll see. Shane Helms came in on the next show, and matches seem to be a little longer without giving away anything. And I'm hopeful. We have kind of a new beginning with New Year's Knockout, and I'm interested to see what becomes of Worldwide. It's going to be different. It's going to be difficult for somebody like myself. It's going to be difficult for a lot of people, and I'm still very hopeful because there's a lot of talent there. Not a lot changes as far as in the ring, and that's what I think is important to remember. I have a wait-and-see approach. I want to be supportive. I've talked with the management. So I'm wait and see like the rest of you guys, but I think it's important that everybody rally around CWF right now. Hashtag CWF strong, I think is a really cool idea. I like what they're doing with the t-shirt at the next show, with proceeds going to a women's center. I think that's one of the better things that you can do. Going forward, I was scheduled to take 2 weeks off. It may be a little bit longer. I have to see. I have a bunch of stuff in the can, but frankly, I have to see if anything was made irrelevant or just awkward by the situation that was created by Brad Stutz and his dismissal. But I do have a great conversation that's very much like a Road Diaries offshoot episode that we taped at FanCon between myself, Cecil, and Jeremy Bryant, JB. There's two of those episodes. So I'll split it into two. I still have Jerry Carey. I'm so sorry, Jerry. I have a great episode with him to run. I have in the can. Now I need to check these. I taped CL Party, and then I taped Eric Andrews right after Battlekid. I obviously have to kind of vet that material to see if it's still all relevant. I believe it is. And I might have to run it with a disclaimer. I might cut out some stuff. There's nothing crazy slated. I did not interview them about this. I did not know at the time that this was happening. So we'll give it a few weeks. I'm scheduled to come down for Kronodal. I want to make sure that the date on Kronodal is still going to be the date and that I'm going to be there, because I do not have enough content to fill a full episode of season 3, and I have to see what we're going to do with everything. Obviously, I'm deep in editing with the documentary. So by that time, I really should grab the guys involved in the doc and see, which would, I don't want to give away the full names. I know that's silly. Most of you know, but we'll see. So let's be supportive. If you want to jump off, no hard feelings. We all kind of have to see going forward how we feel about everything, but there still are real life people that have brought us enjoyment and interacted with us, and I want to remember that regardless. Oh, And I can't believe it. I have to thank both PW Ponderings, which has been amazing to work with for this season, and The Place to Be Nation, which has carried me from the very beginning. And basically, I just blindly wrote them and said, hey, I taped a bunch of stuff. I'm going to edit it. And they said, send it. We trust you. We know you. You're part of the family. So thanks to both those entities. And thanks to Jeff and Danny for having CWF, because I really appreciate them creating it. And they've worked really hard for 17 years now. So I love everybody. Really genuinely do. Like, that's not just a phony statement. Like, I really have had the most enjoyable time working with everybody in CWF and Ponderings and Place to Be Nation and just all the friends I've made from this. So I guess I'll see you guys next season. And until then, be well.